Okay, good evening, everyone. Glad you're with us on this wonderful Wednesday evening.
And
glad you're all out here. And we're gonna pray for no snow or no ice, and everybody's going to be safe going home. So welcome to all those who are listening on Facebook and out there in the parking lot on 88.1 FM. And we're going to start our service off this morning, or this evening, with number 16. Grab a hymnal. It's "O Worship the King."
Good evening to everybody. Good to see you. Hold on just a second. It is good to see you tonight. So thankful you've made the effort to get out. Tonight we're going to be in the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. As the weather has been the way it has been this week, we did not have our prayer meeting yesterday. And so tonight I would like to for us to call those names out. I'm going to do my best to have us out of here by 6:45 before the temperature goes to dropping too hard. And but do we have any word of praise, any word of testimony before we get kicked off tonight? Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. That gas, $2.50 a gallon. I might need something for long. Amen. And praise God, every person that needs help, it's an opportunity for us to share the love of Christ Jesus. And we do our best to do that. I am thankful that we've not got more snow than what we have. I'm thankful that Sunday night, as you're turning to the book of Ephesians, I'm thankful that it didn't freeze Sunday night. If it had froze as wet as it was, it could have been a whole lot worse than what it is. And so also, I'm thankful that my daughter is at an age where she can earn money now. And so today was her first day of being a babysitter, and I'm just proud of her, thankful for her. Any other words of praise tonight? As you're turning to Ephesians, the main thing that we want you to be mindful of, and again, if you're watching us by Facebook, if you're out in the parking lot, I do want to say thank you for letting us be a part of your worship experience. I do ask that you share. If 11 shares, then that means we have about 400 views. If we have 30 people that share, that means we have close to 1,000 views. And again, it's not about Thomas Village, but it's about the gospel of Jesus Christ going forth. And we pray that you remember this, that nobody loves you like Jesus, nobody's done so much for you as Jesus, and if you'll let him today, he'll do even greater things than you can ever imagine. And I'm thankful that y'all have made the effort to come out and to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Do be praying for Brother Frank as we're getting ready, and that's the main thing, as we get ready for the ordination this coming Sunday. Brother Frank is in Pennsylvania, and he said they've given up to 11 inches where he's at. So I am not envious of Brother Frank tonight, but do pray that God keep him safe. But Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, we're going to be ordaining Brother John Franklin, and God willing, he'll be coming aboard as a deacon here at Thomas Village Baptist Church. Brother Jeff DeBoard's going to be with us, and we've just got some special things planned for that day. So I talked to Sister Ruth Roten this week. She was thankful for her snow. They got snow in Hendersonville. I told her she could have every bit of it that was on us, but she's looking forward to watching it. And you know what? Invite some of your friends. They might would come to something like this that is special. You know, if they know Brother John, tell them Brother John has proven himself faithful, and we're thankful for that. Anyone else before we get kicked off tonight in our Bible study? Amen. That's the way Sister Ruth was. I asked her, was there anything that I could pray for her about? And we got to talking, and she said, I really didn't need nothing and really didn't need the snow, but God was just good and allowed me to have the snow. She said her dogs didn't like it, but she was thankful to see that snow, and she's hoping to get back up here in spring. 30 days, I think it is, until spring there. So anything else tonight? I do know that we got a new load in at Hope this week. They went yesterday on them icy roads and went and got it. We're thankful for that.
Over 1,600 pounds of food.
Praise God. Anyone else? All right. Tonight, you can just remain seated. We'll be going to a familiar passage. It's there in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to pick up in verse 10. We're going to be talking about the armor. Last time I spoke about it was back in 2018. Those of you that are watching, if you have prayer needs right now, we're going to close out in prayer, as we call this not only our midweek refuel, but it's also our midweek prayer, and we never want to pass up an opportunity to pray. But tonight we're going to be looking at the armor of the Lord. I'm going to read it out of the King James first, and then after we pray, I want to read it out of the Christian Standard. But there in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. But above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me boldly, that I may know the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I might speak boldly as I ought to speak. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in the precious name of Jesus, God, I'm thankful for this day. Heavenly Father, Lord, thankful to know that you're in control. And Lord, it is a good day. Heavenly Father, Lord, no, not everything's gone my way today. Not everything has been comfortable that we've had to deal with. But in the midst of it all, Lord, you've still been on the throne. You've still been faithful to me, even when I'm not faithful to you. And God, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I invite the person of the Holy Spirit to come and do what he does, and that is to shine a light on you and to shine a light in your word. And so, Lord, again, forgive me of my sins. Thank you for everyone that's with us tonight and that will be with us later on. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. The Christian Standard is a little more to me, just kind of more straightforward. It says, finally, be strengthened by the Lord and by the power of his strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against cosmic powers of this darkness, against evil, against spiritual forces in the heavens. Now, if you remember, I think it was last Wednesday night that we were talking about how the heavens declare the glory of God. It declares the awesomeness and the splendor of God. But if you remember, we went over to, what was it? I think it was 2 Corinthians, I think it is. Or is it 2 Thessalonians, where Paul writes that he knew a man who looked over into the third heaven. And so as we talk about, when we read about this spiritual wickedness in high places, one thing, and it says in the heavens, remember, they've been cast out. Satan and a third of the angels have fallen. They've been cast out. We know that some are held in bondage right now, that they're being held unto the judgment of God. Some are being held, and there's coming a day when they will be loosed on this earth. If you read in the book of Revelations that they're there. But also if you read over into the Gospels, we're told that Satan is the prince of what? The prince of this earth, but also the air. He's the prince of the air. That's why me and Brother Ken and others gather every service and praise, but we didn't tonight. This is the one night we didn't. But we pray over anything that has to do with airwaves, sound waves, all that kind of stuff, because call me crazy, call me Pentecostal, whatever, there's a spiritual battle that's going on out there. And the same is true with us on a daily basis. If we're doing anything for the Lord Jesus Christ, if we're just simply trying to, we're not an evangelist, we're not preaching revivals, we're not a missionary, but if you're just simply trying to live a life wherein the product of your living is for the glory of God and the growth of his kingdom, then guess what? The devil's probably got somebody, some spirit there to try to trip you up. Now, if you're not doing anything for the Lord, you probably ain't got to worry about it as much. But if you try to live for, you remember, in the book of Acts, if you remember, there were some false prophets trying to cast out some demons. You remember that? Remember what happened? And the demons jumped on them, whooped them, sent them away naked. And before they whooped them, the guy that was possessed with the demons basically said, Paul we know, and Jesus we know, but who are you? See, they hadn't been mindful of them, but that's what we're fighting right now. That's what we're fighting. We're fighting not the faces that we see in our job when somebody's getting on our nerves, when somebody cuts us off in traffic, all those things. We've got to recognize, and again, remember it was like Sunday morning, getting our minds right, getting our thinking right, that we need to recognize that the devil is battling against us, and that's part of that spiritual thinking. How many of us before we were saved, how many of us ever thought about spiritual warfare? How many of us? You see, that what we're talking about tonight sounds crazy to someone who does not know Jesus Christ. When we talk about these spiritual battles and these spiritual warfare and talking about these the spiritual armor, I mean, some literally, I don't believe it'll be long, they'll try to have us committed for talking about stuff like this. You know what I mean? Because it just does not. Okay, look there in verse 13. It says, "For this reason, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. And having prepared for everything, take your stand." And then in verse 14, there's that one word, stand. "Therefore, with truth like a belt around your waist, righteousness as a plate upon your chest, have your feet sandaled in readiness in the gospel of peace. In every situation, take up the shield of faith with which you may extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word. Pray all at all times in the Spirit, in every prayer and request. Stay alert with all perseverance and intercessions for the saints. And pray for me that the message may be given to me when I open my mouth to make it known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. For I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I might be bold enough to speak about it," or about the gospel, "as I should." Now, if your mind goes back to Sunday morning, if you remember, we were over in 2 Peter. And there at the beginning of 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter, as we talked about, basically this is the last part of the last letter that we have or ever would that we would know from Peter. And look what he says in wrapping it up as he's getting to the final words that he's putting in this letter and the instruction that he's writing to the church there. He says, "Dear friends," now this is the second letter that I have written to you. And remember why he did it? You remember why he said that he did it? He says, in both the letters, I wanted to what? Stir up a sincere what? Mind. To stir up sincere mind or sincere understanding by way of a reminder, so that you recall the words previously spoken by the prophets and the command of our Lord and Savior given through the apostles. And remember, we looked over in Luke about the rich man and Lazarus, the beggar, how that Abraham in paradise spoke back when he said, "Go to my family." When the rich man asked to go to my family, Abraham responded back saying, "If he does not believe the prophets and Moses, he would not even believe though one was raised from the dead." And so we see, but what we looked at there was, you remember how it talked about that the heavens and all that is basically held in storage? And you remember, what is it held in storage for? Fire, and that fire is the embodiment of what? The wrath of God. It is held in store for the wrath of God. And remember, it talked about how that the fire is going to be there. But what did it tell us to do? It says, behave yourself. Remember? Remember who you are. Know how you ought to act. And remember, it said, and hasten the day. Or do what you can to help that day arrive. And again, therein is insane thinking. That we want to hasten the day that all of creation is consumed by the judgment fire of God. No, nobody would think we were rational, but that means that Jesus is in control, that he's on the throne, that evil has been put down, and that victory in Jesus has become a physical reality and not just in the spiritual sense. But then in some of my studies this week, as I've been preparing for Brother John's service on Sunday, as we ordain him as a deacon, I've been given the opportunity to preach the charge to the church, and I thought I'd just go back and pull out an old one and just reheat it, and God wouldn't let me be done with it. But I tried to use this verse on him over in the book of Philippians chapter 3 verse 1. It says, "In addition, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord, because there is no trouble for me in writing you again that which I already have. And it is a safeguard unto you." Paul saying, listen, I have no problem teaching you what we've already been over. You know, all of us need refresher courses. And that's why your boss men and those that employ you are willing to send you off to this place for some training. And why? Because they know you've got to be refreshed. And tonight, when we're looking here at this book of Ephesians and the armor, I'd say if you've been in church very long, you've been through this many a time. But how many of us, and I literally put my armor on the daytime, you say, do you think that there's a physical helmet goes on your head in the spiritual realm? No, but it's a part of me submitting to the power and the person of the Holy Spirit in my life and recognizing, as Paul said, that I am, what did he say there in verse 20? He said, I am an ambassador. I am a representative of my commander. And so therein, I need to walk right. And we're living in a world right now where our faith is attacked every day. And so we see in John, it's as well, not John, but as we look at this, there are eight specific requests. As we look at this, as we look herein at the spiritual battle gear, this would be the Christian's battle armor or battle gear. And in Ephesians, beginning in verse 13, he says, for this reason, if we jump back in the verse 12, look right there, he's that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, that we are not fighting a battle that we in and of ourselves can fight nor win. So instead of trying to think about it in the physical realm, whatever it might be, it could be finances, it could be a disagreement with someone at work, it could be a family issue or whatever. But looking at it, we recognize that beyond what we see, there is a spiritual aspect of that, and we should be more concerned with that than we are what is tangible or what is visible. He says, for this reason, put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. Now, wherein is the evil day? Well, we believe and we know that the Bible teaches, says that it's if it were possible that the very elect or those that are truly bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, that if it was not for God's hand, even we could be deceived. And so if we're going to be called out in the rapture, right? That's what we believe. At the beginning of the 7 year, before the 7 years of tribulation start, the 3.5 good, 3.5 bad, we believe that the church is going to be raptured out. Amen? So then, what would we call the evil day? Right now. Look at what we're living in. As we talked about Sunday, our nation is literally passing laws and thumbing our finger in the face of God. Pastors, it's very common to see one fall from grace or do whatever it might be. We are living in the evil days. We are living in the final days. And notice what he says. He says, we are to resist, and having prepared, having done all that we know to do, spiritually, praise God, when you don't know what to do, do what you know, right? And we know this is a part of what we know. This should be a part of it. He says, take your stand, and then what do? You simply stand. You simply stand. But look, he says, therefore, with the truth like a belt around your waist. I just want to tell you this. This past week, I have tried, even with pants that some would say were too big, I have went without a belt, with tight pants and loose pants. And you know what? It didn't matter whether they were tighter, which I felt a lot more confident with the belt on me and the tight pants. But even with the pants that fit, when I put that belt on, I still feel like, if I don't got my belt on, I don't feel like I'm dressed. I don't feel like I'm dressed. And praise God, think about this. He's saying to put that belt around your waist. What is that? The truth of God. You hold it all together. Think about it. You're standing there and you're getting ready to go into battle. And the fear kind of would rise up in you. Where's your hands resting? They're probably resting on your belt where the sword hangs. And then you would be reminded, okay, I do got something on me. There is something here to defend myself. I don't just have to play defense, but I can be offensive against the attack that comes against me. Why? Because I've got the truth on my side. We can feel comfortable. We can feel confident when we have the truth of God upholding And think about not just, you know, we can talk about the old-timey Roman top where they would have it around and they could pull it between their legs and tuck it down, you know, to keep their free from running. But then also think about Batman. Think about his belt. Man, he had everything. I remember in his bat belt, he had shark repellent. And I mean, how many times are you going to need shark repellent? But do you know what? When we have the truth of God, it doesn't matter whether the enemy comes at us like a shark or whether, well, hey, praise God, in that belt of truth, we have all we need. I never thought I'd use Batman. And this is the old Batman. You know what I mean? And Robin and all them, Holy Toledo Batman time. Notice what he says. He says, righteousness as a plate upon your chest. Righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness is doing that which is right in the eyes of our Creator. You know what? Praise God. When you're right with God, the truth is that no man can judge you. It doesn't matter what men may say. Why? When you're right with God and everybody else may be against you, the attacks, that what do they hit? They hit the righteousness of where you need to be with the Lord. That no matter where you're at or what you're doing, and you know what? We need to, and if you've never literally did this, I memorized this so that I could do it every day, many times a day. And my daddy, I wish I could be like him. He does it before his feet hit the floor. He puts his armor on in the morning before his feet ever hit the floor. And praise God, I can tell a difference when you, it's not just about knowing the Word of God. I'd say many people could quote it. But are you actually trying to move in obedience? You say, Brian, you're just going through the motions. Well, you know what else I'm doing? I'm making my flesh be submitted to the Spirit and to the Word. Amen? Amen. He says, have your feet sandaled. And I like this one. With the readiness of the gospel of peace. What is it? If anybody thinks about it, it's over in Matthew chapter 5. What does it say? Blessed are the peacemakers, for theirs is the kingdom. They shall inherit the kingdom. You see? And when you put that with the readiness, it almost looks like you're just anywhere you need to go to make peace. You know what I mean? That you're in the starting gate and you're ready to make peace. You know, and we talk about the cross, we talk about the vertical and the horizontal. If we want to be right with God, the vertical, once we're right with God, then we're going to have a desire to be right horizontal, meaning that we're going to want to be right with our brothers and sisters. And the Bible teaches us this, that if it's not us who holds the grudge, but we know someone else holds the grudge, what are we to do? We're to have our feet shod with the readiness of the gospel of peace. We're to go to them. All right, look at the next one. In every situation, take up the shield of faith, with which you may extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And you know, there's different types of shields, but we do know during this time that a lot of them were made out of more wood and leather type stuff, but they could soak it in water, and then they would be able, it would shoot it, and it would put it out, you know. And then there's those other ones. How many of you have seen the movie Gladiator? I love that movie. That's an awesome movie. You remember when they all got together and they locked their shields together and thousands of arrows fell down upon them? Could you imagine the first time they say, don't worry, let's do this? Could you imagine the first time being under there and you've never did that before? What's going to be going through your mind? It's going to freak you out. But after about 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, what is it going to be? You're going to feel more and more comfortable in the midst of that. See, if we're faithful in using the shield of faith, that whatever situation we're going into, we're going into it by faith, and faith is what is keeping us and upholding us. Yeah, the first time, it's going to be a little scary. And you know what? I'd say it's a little scary the 100th time. You might be used to it, but still you're in the midst of a battle. And the same is true for us, but with that faith, the faith in who? Not in ourselves, not in the works that we do, but in the work of Christ Jesus. and the completed work of Him. And notice it says, take on the helmet of salvation. You know, before the enemy can have your body, the enemy has to take your mind, mostly. You know what I'm saying? He's got to get in your mind. That's what's so dangerous that right now with this isolation. Because what is to an idle mind is the devil's playground. Empty hands and an idle mind. That's the two things. And right now, people, a lot of people don't have anything to do. And so their mind. I remember the way it was put to me is, I can't help if the bird flies into the tree, but I can help keeping the bird from making a nest. And ain't that the way thoughts are lots of times? Wickedness, worry, things like that, it gets into your mind. And for long, that ain't the only thing you're worried about. That's not the only place where it's went. But what does the Bible say? Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are holy, whatsoever things are just, think upon these things. And that's what that helmet does. That helmet allows us to think about the things of Christ Jesus, to be mindful of the spiritual than the physical. It says here, and take on the sword, which is the word of God. Now, really and truly, this is the only offensive weapon that we see here. Now, the shield is able to be used as an offensive weapon as well. If you've ever watched any of them, they can hit and do all that. But the sword is the main thing. And most things in the Bible makes it clear. You know what I mean? It doesn't leave a lot of stuff vague. Now, there are some things. But praise God, I mean, we have the Ten Commandments. Just in that alone, that is very divisive. That is, it's shaking. And then we see, again, number 18, which is number 7 on our counting. In verse 18, it says, pray at all times. And again, broken record, I know, but that's the one thing about Mama. And I told y'all about that, about her, that when I was, I lived with her the 6 months when I came up here, if you remember, but also while I was in college, we lived in their basement and rented our house out down in Georgia. And lots of days, especially around the end of the semester, the teachers would let us be at the house getting ready for finals and writing papers and all that. And she would be upstairs and she would forget I was there. And she had an excitement about her. And she'd get on that piano and she'd begin to play that piano. And I could hear her through the vents and she'd say, oh, Lord. And she'd be praying and she'd be praying and she'd be praying. But you know what? And I know who she was praying for. She was praying for me. She was praying for Amy. She was praying for her other grandchildren. And that's why I told them, I've heard what she's prayed for you. And until you get right with the Lord, those prayers are going to hang on you like a wet jacket would. And the Lord's after them. So, and notice it says, with our prayer and our request. So we see that there's more to prayer than just asking. You see, yes, he says supplications is what the King James says. Supplications, the root word, supply, meaning what we need, and the Lord has knowledge of that. But remember, our prayer is to exalt Jesus. We're to make much of Him. We're to make much of the Holy Spirit. We're to make much of the Father. And we're to worship the one true and living God. And then notice what it says. It says, stay alert. Stay alert. I'm telling you what, if you look, very rarely does a day or two not go by that some big deal has happened in our country. Something to make you worry. Something to make you mad. Something to isolate you or to cause divisions there. What is that? That is the distraction of the enemy. That's the distraction. That's why he says there, stay alert. Persevere. Perseverance. Praise God. If you've ever studied Calvinism, the tulip, the last one is the perseverance of the saints. I like that a little bit different, is the preservance of the saints. I am kept by Him. It took somebody else acting upon me to keep me for an eternity. I couldn't do it of myself. Same is true with a strawberry. A strawberry can't make itself preserved. There has to be someone else come in and to make that. And that's the way it is. But at the same time, we are supposed to, what did James say about it? Show me your faith without works and I'll show you my faith how? By my works. That's that perseverance. That's the one thing that about Brother John, as we've watched him, there is that perseverance, there's that diligence, there's that, I got my blinders on and I'm going to plow a straight road. So when we read this and we recognize where our country is and what's going on, as we want to have the mind of Christ, part of that is not just to, and again, we get so caught up in saying that it's spiritual and it's hyperbole or anything like that, you know. But literally, we need to get back to the literal interpretation of Scripture. And I put on the helmet of my salvation, breastplate of righteousness, gird my loins with the truth, shod my feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I have the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. And then I surrender to the commander. And then you go on. And then you get mad with somebody, and then you remind, oh, it's not them, it's flesh and blood. I got to, commander, I come back to you. I just need you to buckle everything in again, make sure it's on tight. And so tonight I just want to remind you, simple it may be, childish you might think, but I do believe if you want to be more victorious and you want to live more of the life of the overcomer, then the putting on of the armor of the Lord will become a priority in your life. Amen? All right, any thoughts before we move on into our prayer requests tonight? Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. And what's her name? All right, let me get my pen out. Let me find my prayer list. I got it in here somewhere. Okay. Anyone else? You're welcome, sister. We do want to continue to pray for those that are getting their shots and all those different things right now. But most importantly, we want to pray for the lost. I am going to read off the first names of the lost tonight. I'm going to do it like, y'all remember that old bald-headed guy that used to have a mustache that could talk real fast on TV? I'm going to read them off like that tonight. The Lord knows them. But we do want to continue to pray for not only the lost, but the backslidden. We want to pray for marriages. We want to pray for those that are depressed, those that are isolated in this time. Anyone else tonight? We will have we heard anything? I know Sunday night, Brother Jeff's mama was doing all right. Have we heard anything different from that, or is she just continuing to mend up? All right, we'll pray for her. How about Sister Priscilla? Mending? We'll do it. We want to pray for Russ Williams. Continue to pray for him. Miss Priscilla, Ethan, Thomas Graham, Paul Stoyer, Stanley Bledsoe, Susie Hill, Dustin and Cynthia Pearson and family, Carol Carter, Emily Ward, Alicia Hill, Wendy Fields, Vicki Littrell, Ezekiel Jordan, Eddie and Chris Barnett, Sis, Catherine Ward, Sister Pansy, Good Report, Daisy Richards, Nick Roten, Sandy Knight, Daniel Jordan, Chris and Jennifer Strange, Robbie Jordan, Judy Webb, Tyler and Donna Hodge, David and Felicia Cantrell, Mr. Pippin, Sabrina and Lance Stollard, Tommy and Alma Mullins, Haley Webb, Darlene Porter, Courtney Hall, Rhonda Bryant, Jalen and Scott Bledsoe, Jeanette Carter, Nicholas Patrick, Betty Gilbreth, Brother Don and Miss Wilma Williams, Brother Frank and Sister Cecilia Pennington, Miss Lottie Johnson, Brother Jay and Sister Ruby, Sister Sheila, Sister Cindy, Faye Hill, Ruth Roten, Brother Hoyt and Sister Phyllis, Liza Fletcher, Brother Chet and Sister Margaret, special need prayer there, Wilma Jean Tomlinson, Wilma Williams, Linda Jackson, Chelsea LeBlanc, John and Carmine Shoup, all of our first responders. Also, we want to be mindful of many unspoken needs and in our country as well. Yes, sir? Stanley Bledsoe, okay. Gotcha. Thank you, brother. And any of you that's on Facebook that the prayer's been answered in one way or another, let us know and we'll get it off of there as well. Anyone else? All right, what we'll do tonight is the altar's open. It's been sprayed. And what I'll do is I'll begin us in our prayer tonight, and I'll read these names off. After I'm done with that, if there's a few moments silence, if you feel led to pray, you pray. And then I'm going to ask Brother Wayne if he would to close us out. I'll call you up, Brother Wayne, when it's time, okay? But if you feel led to come, you come, or just pray where you're at. Those of you that's on Facebook, you have those needs, you post them. We may not get to them tonight, but we're praying in agreement with you, okay? But as we come to pray, specifically tonight for the lost, we hold fast to the scripture that Peter Peter wrote that we read this Sunday. God is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is patient towards us, that or is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish. But also what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 10, verse 1, for his own nation, and this should be our heart for America right now. My heart's desire and prayer to God for them, for us, is that salvation come. Lord Jesus, we do come before you tonight, and we acknowledge our sinfulness, my sinfulness, and Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus. And God, I know, Heavenly Father, Lord, the Bible even teaches that you intercede for me, and God, that also the Holy Spirit makes intercessions that cannot be spoken. And God, tonight we do lift up all these other needs that we have. Most of them are physical needs. Lord, especially as we think of some that are facing this ice storm, this cold snap, and they may not have heat. They may not have a home. Lord, we just pray for them tonight, and especially those that are in the position of that position and don't know you, Lord. But also we pray for these others as you has given us the responsibility and counted us a privilege to pray for these. We pray for Tom and Sharon, Melinda, Leonard, Millard, Leah, Bobby, Bill, Robert, Felicia, David, Bridget, JC, Lavella, Diane, Josh, Madison, Sydney, Austin, Jordan, Bavina, Sheridan, Brady, Gabe, Kelly, Ashton, Trista, Richie, Taylor, Austin, Jeff, Brad, Gerald, Terry, Kane, Tony, Lynette, Dorette, Brian, Diane, Rick, Charles and Carol, and Gail, Richard, William, Wilma, Irma Lee, Shane, Caleb, Cody, Christopher, Jason, Clarence, Chuck's mother, Chuck's sister, Chuck's brother Terry, Rick, Evan, Daniel, Rebecca, Hunter, Tim, Becky, Kenny and wife, Aaron, Lisa, Mickey, Justin and Dina, John, Cheyenne, Larry and Jane, BV and family, Thelma, Rita, Claudia, Mary Lou, Mike, Florence, Letitia, Dennis, James, Drayden, Barbara, Barry, Bud, Henry, Lee, Ashley, Scott, Jalen, Michael, Isaac, Kayla, Rhonda, Michael, James, Mike, Joey, David, Gracie, Pauline, Chad, Misty, Ron, Greg, Lila, Brooke, Madeline, Bonnie, Jeremy, Lita, Justin, Eric, Matt, Bobby, Michael, Thea, Mario, Sharon, Richie, Michael, Gerald, Donna, Bethany, Frank, Keith, Robert, Sandra, Tom, Donald, Lisa and daughter, Danny, Brenda, Glenn, Sarah, Leonard, Elia, John, Neil, Will, Polly, Mickey, Cooper, Haley, Gary, Melissa, Damaris, Nathaniel, Mila, Daniel, Nathaniel, Steve, Fred, Robert, Laura, Victoria, Chastity, Tina, Rocky, Samuel, Sam, Tim, Kristen, Ron, Dwight, Galen, Glenda, Farrell, Teresa, Phil, Devin, And God, those names could just continue to roll as we've prayed. There's so many tonight that don't know you. And God, we understand, as you said, if they hear not the prophets, if they don't believe the word, and Lord, they won't even believe it if some neutral supernatural events, even one rising from the dead. But Lord, tonight we pray for them. And we pray, Lord, that you give us, Thomas Village, the boldness to spread the gospel, the means to spread the gospel, the humility and the love to share the gospel. And it's in Jesus' name. As Brother Wayne comes forward and is prepared to pray, is there anyone else tonight that the worthiness of our Lord or the greatness of our God, anyone? Brother Wayne.
Lord, we come to you thanking you for this study tonight. Lord, put on the whole armor of God, Lord, so that we may resist, as it says, the wiles of the devil, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you for using Brother Brian tonight to bring that word to us tonight. Lord, we just have so many on our prayer list tonight, Lord, that we want to remember, Lord, especially at the top of the list, the lost, and yes, and the ones, Lord, who have turned away from you, Lord, the depressed, the marriages, Lord, and it's those things that we've studied about tonight, Lord, the things contrary to flesh and blood, Lord, the principalities that we battle against, Lord. We pray that you prepare us, Lord, adequately, Lord, and that we would seek to prepare ourselves with the armor that you have provided with us, for us, Lord. And Lord, tonight we just pray, Lord, there, according to what the forecasts say, Lord, there's a storm on the way, Lord, and Lord, we just pray not only for those who would be going through a storm physically tonight with snow and ice and cold, Lord, but we pray most of all, Lord, if they're going through a spiritual storm in their lives or if there's one coming in their lives, Lord, that you would intercede and help them through that storm, Lord, because you're the one, Lord, that can calm the storm no matter what it may be. We just thank you for all of your for all of the prayers that you have answered, for all of the things that you're going to do, Lord. And we just praise your name for all that you do for us, every single blessing that we're so undeserving of, but that you readily provide. We just love you and thank you for your mercy, for your grace, and for the gift of salvation that you so freely offer for us, Lord. We love you and thank you and praise your name. And in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, and we'll see you Sunday at 11.
Hey, hey. We did pretty good. We're working on it.